All right, well, some of you like superhero movies and comics and all that. So think about this morning, kind of in honor of the new Spider-Man movie coming out, what superpower you would like to have. Who has an answer? Let's look to the kids. The kids are in here with us this morning. Fly?
Yes.
Okay, fly. That'd be fun.
Super strength.
Super strength, yes. I like it. Go ahead, guys.
Unlimited underwear.
Unlimited underwear. That's a different superpower. Must be a pastor's kid. Okay, yeah, I think we should. Kaylee? What's that? Climb on stuff, the ability to climb. That's sort of like Spider-Man, I think. But think about the different abilities. One more, because it's my kid. Winter, to make it winter. So that sounds like Elsa. Okay. To be able to make it snow or make ice. All right, so what if you were able to have the superpower of getting whatever you wanted? Does that sound pretty good? If you could just get whatever you wanted. Does that sound good? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Now we're going to switch gears here, transition a little bit. About 10 years ago, I was in Haiti. And me and a youth pastor named Corey were drafted to give a message. And he had just read this book called A Shepherd's Guide to the 23rd Psalm, and he wanted to talk about the 23rd Psalm. So I said, okay, without thinking about it. But then as we prepared our teaching, it started off with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I thought, Corey, that is a terrible idea. Like, how could we as Americans who have plenty of food, clothes, nice houses, our houses are climate controlled, we have cars, a lot of us even have houses for our cars, and we have all this stuff, and we're going to tell the people of Haiti, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." They're going to be thinking, of course you say that. You're an American, you have everything. You don't have to worry about eating. You live in nice houses. You have all these things that we would be happy if we had too. And that was a struggle thinking about. Look, what are we going to say? This is pretty ridiculous, being American pastors, talking to Haitians about contentment. And as I was thinking about it, we were talking about what to say and what kind of questions to ask. And as I reflected on it, I started thinking about Americans that I know and Haitians that I know, and how content people seem to be. And when I thought about contentment level, I'm not so sure that most Americans are more content than the average Haitian. And as I thought about it, I thought that maybe, perhaps, Americans may even be more discontent than the average Haitian. And how could that be? I mean, we have the American dream. We have so much, right? You don't want anything else, right? You're perfectly content all the time, correct? No, right? No, there's things that we want, and we all struggle with these feelings of discontent. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, what is it that you lack? What is it that if you had it, you would no longer be discontent? You would be content if you had it. Maybe it's a job. Maybe you thought, if I just get married, if I find the right person. Maybe you're married and the marriage is just not good. And you thought, if the marriage just got better, if you just had a kid, or you're having trouble with a relationship, if that relationship just got better, if you just had a house, or just had this, or just had that, or if you looked a certain way, what is it? If you felt a certain way, if you had health, what is it that you lack? What is it that if you had it would make you content? For the next several weeks, we're going to be taking a look at perhaps the most famous and one of the most beloved poems in history. And we're going to be looking at it in a way and hopeful that God will do a work in our soul to help us get right. We're looking at it for restoration, to be reset by God. So opening up Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the NIV, the translation is, I lack nothing. And as you hear this, you might be thinking, well, yeah, I lack things. I lack maybe money to pay the bills. I lack a reliable car. I lack health. I lack good relationships. What is it, again, that you lack? Faith. Maybe you feel like there's something in you that's not enough, that you're not smart enough, maybe. You'd like to do this, but you're not smart enough or talented enough, that you don't have enough faith or confidence or something. But let's just kind of do some reflecting and just kind of see what comes to mind as what it is that we could have that would be enough. What is it that we're lacking? Now we're going to switch over and look at something that Paul wrote in the New Testament. This is in 1 Timothy, and it says this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." I think that all of us agreed if we ask, do you want to be content? I think all of us as people would say, yeah, I would love to be content. And then there's probably reasons why most of us have where we don't feel it or we struggle with it. But we want to be content. We all agree that. And deep down, I think all of us, or at least most of us, suspect that there's something that if we had it, we would be content. It would bring contentment to us. So I'm going to go through some of the things that I've thought in life that I thought would make me content. And we'll see if you can relate to any things. Have you ever thought something like, I will be content if I'm a starter on the basketball team? Some of you sports people maybe know. I will be content if I were popular in school, if I had a lot of friends. You ever felt that way? I will be content if I just had a pair of Guess jeans. Now, you people who are about my age can relate, maybe. Guess jeans, you guys were at the school same time as me. You had everything at one time if you had a pair of Guess jeans. And what Guess jeans were, they were a pair of jeans, and it had either a green or a red triangle on the back pocket. And man, if you just had Guess jeans, then you'd arrive. So maybe it wasn't Guess jeans, but it could have been some other kind of clothing. If I just were able to get my driver's license and have a car, then I'd have everything. I'd be content. If I just had a girlfriend, then I would be content. You ever felt that way? If I just had a job, if I just could get a job, if we just had a house, if we just had kids, and I could give you a million more, if we just get this, then we'll be content, we'll have no more problems. And it doesn't quite work. You have your own list. Now, I think that the desire for contentment never goes away with us. We always want something. We always want to be content. What changes is what we think will make us content. I now no longer think that a pair of Guess jeans would make me content, like I did when I was 15 or 14 or whatever. But still, we want to be content. Just the things that we think will bring us contentment tend to change. So let's move on with what Paul says in 1 Timothy. He says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." Social scientists say that babies are born with two fears innately: fear of loud noises and fear of falling. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what some people think. And all the other fears, the theory goes, are learned, things that we learn later. And I think that that works too with discontent. Babies are born with a few things that makes them really discontent. What makes baby discontent? Wet diapers. Being uncomfortable. They'll start to cry, right? Being in pain. Being sick. Being hungry, yeah. Those things make babies discontent right from the bat. They don't feel discontent if they don't live in a nice house. They learn that a little bit later. They don't feel discontent if some other kid has better toys than them. They learn that just a few months later. They learn that quick. But But they learn it. All the other sources of discontent are learned. So just as we learn fears, we learn what to be discontent about. Probably some of the circumstances that you have in your life that you have right now, there was a point in your life when you thought, if I had that, I would never want for anything. I shall not want if I had what you have right now. Discontent. So I love this perspective here. We brought nothing into the world. You can't argue with that. And we can take nothing out of it. We all know we can't take it with us when we go. When we leave our bodies, we could stuff a bunch of stuff in the caskets, but we can't take it with us when we go. It's a good, helpful reminder that helps give us perspective about contentment. Paul goes on to say, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. There was a guy named Abraham Maslow who had a hierarchy of needs that kind of what we need to be what he called self-actualized. And at the very bottom, we need our basics met. We need food. We need water. We need clothing. We need shelter. And we need certain baseline things in order to be content, as the theory goes. And so I don't want to ever make light of being hungry, because that's what we were dealing with in Haiti, people who are hungry. I think we have a real call to help people who are hungry. But there are just certain things. When we're hungry, when we're tired, people call that hangry, you know, and that's a real thing. When we're hungry and tired, we probably need to get food and rest. We have those few things that bring on discontentment, and they need to be changed. But the point that Paul is making here is that, again, if we have food and clothing, we can be content. That's enough. That's enough for us to be content. And that's good, and it's a great reminder. But it was still a struggle for me. This one's still a struggle for me if I'm talking to people in Haiti. Because a lot of the people in Haiti are hungry. And what is it that you can say? I was thinking, because even Jesus acknowledged that we need our physical needs taken care of. In the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about how we do need food and water and clothing and shelter. And that God will take care of those needs. So they are, but again, the people in Haiti, some of them don't have enough food. What is it we can say? Because even by Paul's low standards, having food and clothing, we can be content. They didn't have enough. I think, again, one thing that we have to acknowledge is that poverty is a terrible thing. It's awful. Mark in Sunday school a few weeks ago was talking about going to New Orleans right after Hurricane Katrina. And he was with CVS, and he set up, and he was helping people get medicine. And his face was just lighting up as he was talking about his experience to be in this place that was just devastated, where there were people with all kinds of needs. There were people that were hungry. There were people in need of all kinds of help and attention. And one of the things that he said is one thing that I hear from almost every person who ever goes on a mission trip. And it was something along the lines of, I went to New Orleans to think that I would help everybody else, but I got so much more out of it than what I ever gave. But that joy of giving and being a part of it. So anything that you hear this morning, I hope you don't hear any ignore poverty or not do something about people who are in need. Because when we do meet others' needs, there is a joy in it. There's something that happens. It's amazing. So we do need to do something for someone. We can't make poverty history. We, as individuals, we can't feed every person, but we can help someone. And that's part of, I think, what we do on our path to contentment. Anyway, so Haiti. Again, I'm not saying that making light of hunger. But one thing that I did learn in Haiti is even people who were hungry, they seemed to be spiritually content. Now, they wanted food, but there was a spiritual thing that was happening in their lives where they were content. So we're talking about a spiritual problem this morning of contentment. I've seen people who had almost everything who were completely miserable and very discontented with their lot in life. And I've seen people who had almost nothing and were filled with contentment. We're talking about the spiritual kind of contentment. And we're going to look at one thing, one other thing that Paul wrote. He says this, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Remember that superpower we talked about? To get whatever we want? Usually the things that we want, what we really want is contentment. We want that car because we think we'll be content when we get it. We want whatever because we think that it will bring us contentment. But contentment is what we actually want. And Paul is saying, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. Even when he was hungry, he had times in his life where he went without food and he was longing to eat. In abundance and need, in every circumstance that he had, he has learned the secret to facing it. So what he's saying here is that spiritual contentment is possible even when we're hungry. I think anyone who's fasted has experienced that. You're longing for food when you're fasting, for some of it, but God can give a spiritual contentment that happens even when you're hungry and would like to eat. And this is what he says the secret is, the secret of his power. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This statement here is not about winning a football game. This is not about running a marathon. This is about being content. Paul is saying that his secret is that he can do all things. He can find contentment through him who gives him strength. The secret, according to Paul, is not the source, or it's the source. It's not that getting what we want, but it's in the who. It's in God. David had something to say that was very similar if you look at the 23rd Psalm. So let's flash that up there against there. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Who he's following comes first before his next statement. The Lord is my shepherd. Contentment comes not when we don't lack, but the secret is in relationship. It's in who he's following, not in what he's getting. It's in who is leading him. So the secret is in the relationship with Christ. It's in connecting with God. It's in God as being our supplier of what we need, saying that Jesus is enough. God is enough. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So as we follow Christ, one of the things that we discover throughout the way is, and we need reminded of this over and over, that he is enough. Grace, his grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. Our circumstances right here, right now, where we are in the right here and now, that we can have contentment right now because God is enough. And what he's done for you is enough for you and for me to be content. So the secret, again, is in Christ. Mother Teresa said this, if we do it to Jesus, for Jesus, with Jesus, that's what makes us content. So as we're looking in life, it's when we're looking at another person, we do it for Jesus. We do it to Jesus. Jesus said, whenever we do it for the least of these, we're doing it for him. And he promised to be with us as we're doing it. So we do it to Jesus, for Jesus, and with Jesus. And that's what makes us content. So if you're anything like me, I don't have this superpower. I don't feel like I do. I need constant reminders. So I love studying the 23rd Psalm over and over. I love reading Philippians 4 over and over about Paul's secret to contentment because I often get distracted from it and think that something else is going to bring me contentment when it doesn't. So this is what I want to encourage you to do this week. Let's pray the 23rd Psalm. And it's this. Just, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it is well with my soul. So will you just say that with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it is well with my soul. And as you're going through this week and you feel that pang of discontentment, and you start maybe going on a negative path, I'm going to encourage you, let that discontent be a reminder to pray this. Then let's pray it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it is well with my soul. And let that prayer be a reminder to do something to Jesus and for Jesus and with Jesus. and see what he does. Or as you're just kind of losing it, and you're, there's just something that's off spiritually, and you feel frustrated or tired or whatever, I want to encourage you, again, just pray this prayer. Try to pray it every day, and when you're reminded. So let's say it one more time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It is well with my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It was something I was able to declare in Haiti with confidence and with a translator. I needed a translator too because I didn't speak the language. But because it's a spiritual truth that we all need to hear and that God can use no matter what circumstance we're in life, that the Lord is our shepherd. We're going to close this morning with the story of a guy named Horatio Spafford. He was a wealthy attorney in Chicago in the 1800s, and he had it all. A thriving business, a nice house. He had four daughters that he loved, a great marriage. He was even friends with the famous evangelist D.L. Moody. And all kinds of great things happened in his life until the Chicago fire happened and wiped him out financially. And it was really difficult for Spafford. And it took a few years, and a few years after the fire, and he was kind of rebuilding his financial life, he was going to go attend an evangelistic meeting that D.L. Moody was holding in England. And right before he was to leave, some business came up and it delayed him, but he sent his wife and his four daughters on a ship to England. And he had business for a few more days that he was going to finish up before he was going to join them and D.L. Moody for the work they were going to do there. Well, before Spafford could leave, he had a telegram that announced that there was a shipwreck and that his four daughters had died, but his wife was the lone survivor. So it was with an obvious heavy heart that he boarded a ship to go to England and join his wife and mourn with her over the loss of their four daughters. And as they were crossing the ocean and he was reflecting on his daughters' lives and the loss that he had just experienced, there were some words that came to him that have spoke to so many people. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And even during those dark days, he was able to say, it is well with my soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a world that brings us trouble. Sometimes we feel like we lack what we need to be content. And I wonder if you use those situations to remind us that the secret of contentment is not found in what we have, but in who we have and in who is leading us. Father, sometimes it's hard for us to believe the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When we suffer from discontentment, remind us to look to you as the source of strength that we need to face the challenges of life. Help us to wholeheartedly look to the Good Shepherd to lead us so that you can restore our soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.